Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This just in, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I just want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football pre- and post-game show co-host.
So I got to give Jake Moody one just for making the game winner in those conditions, bouncing back after getting one blocked, coming in, making 4 of 5. And I, those conditions, when you see the TV and the wind blowing and the rain coming down and the field looking the way it did, a lot of credit to him for making that happen.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli with Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Gotta wait for the two chords to kick in before you introduce Patrick Manelli. Those are the rules. I don't make the rules. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody, and we are joined by Patrick Manelli on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today, as this is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Patrick, I feel like the last time I talked to you, it wasn't after the Vegas game. I have not gotten to talk to you after wins, plural, in a while. So I
three think, of them.
Yeah, the last time that I had a conversation with you after a win, it's been a minute. So how are you feeling after watching a Bears team eke out 3 wins in a row?
Grody, I'm off the drugs.
Oh, it's official.
I'm officially off the drugs.
Okay,
I
yeah.
went to treatment and got off the drugs, so I'm good. 3 weeks of wins will get you off the drugs.
Yeah,
so
those.
I'm feeling a whole lot better.
Yeah, those.
For those of us who don't know the drugs, can you explain? Because that sounds hilarious out of context.
Well, I can explain it. It was after the Detroit loss, where yes. basically we were all throwing our arms up in the air. You were just befuddled. You were at a point where you were embarrassed for the youth watching
yes,
this Bears team,
yes.
and I was like, Robbie, let's get him started on a Lexapro program. Let's start him at 10 milligrams. I felt like we had to go up to 20. Then we weaned you off of it a little bit after the win over Vegas, I believe. And then now, you said it, you are fully
yes.
off the Lexapro. Why are you feeling so good about the Chicago Bears
well,
right
well,
now?
Well, hold on. Also, now the 5 and 10-year-olds here, 5 to 10-year-olds here in Chicago now can be Bears fans. Now they understand what winning is like. Now they get the feeling. Now they see mom and dad excited and they get what's happened in the past.
The Omerta has been lifted.
Yeah, but Grody, to answer your question, it's one of those games where you're writing kind of your narrative at the end of the game, right, for the post game of how it can go if they lose, what are you going to say? And then you talk about the negatives. They have, you know, the drops, the lineup offsides by DJ, a blocked kick, and that's what losing teams do. Then all of a sudden they come down in the fourth quarter and they go down there and they make the kick to win. And obviously that's what winning teams do. They overcome their mistakes. They overcome the negativity. And that's what's getting me excited about this team and getting me off my drugs is because they did do that. In the past, we haven't seen that, guys. What we've done is we would have had this conversation like, well, DJ can't line up onsides. Zacchaeus can't catch a ball. Jake Moody can't hit a field goal. We can't protect. He hits a low ball. But now they overcome it. And credit to that team. Credit to Ben Johnson and the belief he's got in the locker room.
Robbie, cancel the script because they'll keep charging us. Marshall, go ahead.
Or he's on Bears a Pro.
I've just been taking them. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's Bears a Pro. I like
Bears
it.
Bears a Pro.
Bears Pro.
I like it.
I'm going to get sued by somebody if I keep this mess up.
No, I like it because if you remember,
after the win, after you were on the drugs, then we had to give the drugs to Mark because he was having troubles with the Raiders because he was like, I can't believe they won in this fashion against the Raiders. Can you help me walk Mark down the path of understanding that, yes, these aren't the greatest wins of all time, but they are important building blocks for Ben Johnson so that when they actually do have a better run team, like doing the things that they want, not making as many mistakes, that they're going to be in a great position to be a great program. Patrick.
Yes. Yeah. Ben Johnson said it. I think it was in his post game. He said, these wins are more important than blowouts. They are. Because when you have blowouts, you just kind of wash those away. You just kind of chalked it up to you had a great day, they had a bad day. Most of these NFL games come down to the fourth quarter, final possession, 3.7 points, whatever it is. And to have that belief and get it done 2 weeks in a row, that's character building. And then also for a new staff, a staff learning players, players learning players. There's a lot of new guys on this team. They're learning each other. So there is belief, and I think that is important. And that's a culture-setting thing that's, you know, that Ben Johnson is setting forth. He talked about setting a high standard, right? He wanted that standard set real high. He wanted you to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And then now he's got these guys believing they can win in the fourth quarter. And what happens there, Marshall, is you start looking at each other and you start believing in your teammates. You start believing in your playmakers that somebody's going to make a play. And that might have been DeAndre Swift in the O-line in the fourth quarter going down and running the ball kind of down their throat and putting them in the position to kick that field goal. So these wins go a long way for that locker room. It goes a long way for belief. It'll go a long way for Ben Johnson's tenure.
Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Another part of it, too, for me, Patrick, is that's why I did think it was so important and so crucial that in the first 15 plays we saw, there was success early. You know, I know in this game they end up with a field goal and not a touchdown after their first drive, but to have that work, I'm sure there are moments, you know, as a former athlete where you're saying to yourself with years of experience as a professional, I don't think this is going to work. And they're like, just trust us. And you're like, man, I've been here. I don't know how much I can trust you. And so for them to even have those work, even in a loss, I feel like they're setting the example of trust and knowing this can be different.
Yeah. Well, what you're seeing, I think, is, you know, they're baby steps, right? Before, they wouldn't score any points. We would see a three and out. We'd see offsides. We'd see a penalty put into a third and 15, you know, maybe after five plays and they'd punt. But now you're seeing progress. You're seeing baby steps, like I said. You're seeing at least points. In time, I think they can turn those into touchdowns. And they can turn those turnovers into touchdowns, not just 13 points off of turnover. So you are seeing progress. And what I've seen over the last 5 weeks is, and I talked about it on the pre- and post-game show, that I feel like Ben Johnson is still learning. You know, he's got his Christmas, you know, his toys he's opening up at Christmas, and he's figuring out which ones he wants to play with and who's going to be more fun whatever day to play with. And I think he's trying to figure that out. That's why you're not seeing, you know, I think I heard you guys talking about earlier, where are the tight ends? I think you'll see that later. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this week was DeAndre Swift's game. Next week it might be Roma Dunze again. It might be a DJ Moore game. And I think what you're seeing is the progress of this team of Ben Johnson figuring them out. And most importantly, I think he's figuring out Caleb. And I think Caleb is figuring out Ben Johnson. And we're seeing Caleb turn into a pro quarterback. He's starting to play pro football as a pro football quarterback instead of a college quarterback at the pro level. And we're seeing that growth, and I like that. And I think those 3 points, it was going from 0 points to 3 points, and they'll turn into 7 points in the opening drives.
Patrick, I'm curious because you brought up Caleb and just what you've seen in this game, coming out of the bye, the 15 days without a game, versus what you saw at the start of the season. Where have you seen the growth the most with Caleb Williams under Ben Johnson?
I heard you talk about it earlier and you didn't like it, the conservative part of it, you know, the throw to, was it Rome, the mailbox throw that he was wide open. He's taking the easy play, right? He's taking the first down. He got the first down. He got the chains moving.
Yep.
I like that. I like to see him do that. Give him time and let him take the chances. He said he'll be Superman when he needs to be Superman. Maybe in the future when he gets more comfortable, a little more confident with Ben Johnson in his offense, he'll make that throw. But that's what I'm seeing. He's getting first downs. He's possessing the ball. He's playing from the pocket. He looks a lot more comfortable. And then you talk about who outplayed who, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. I thought he outplayed Jaden Daniels. He had zero turnovers again. Jaden Daniels had two. That's the most important thing. You know, you'll hear about the stats of winning the turnover battle and 11 turnovers in three games is amazing by the defense. Zero for the offense is even better. So that's what I see. I see growth there that he's becoming a pro quarterback and taking what's given. And he has room for growth, what I think is exciting as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Manley, the Jake Moody was his own entity last night. Nobody knew who the hell he was and why he existed and why he was in the Bears locker room and why he was Washington, D.C. Guys were literally getting to know him after the game, and then he hits the game-winning 38-yard field goal, 4 of 5. He missed one as well. What did you think about the Jake Moody entity?
Happy for him, man. It's a tough start he had in San Francisco, right? Being a third-round pick, there's a lot on your shoulders taking over. The great Robbie Gould, my good buddy out there in San Francisco. But to come into a tough situation and hit that game winner after getting one blocked. And I just watched it there on the All-22. It looked like he hit it low. There was some pressure in the A-gap between Scott Daly and Jonah Jackson as well. But I think that's more on Jake Moody kicking it low. But again, credit to him going back out there in that situation. You heard it there in the opening. I mean, those that's tough, man. That wind, a new field, a new stadium, the grass, wet, all that stuff. That's very, very difficult. New holder, new snapper. And for him to go out there and hit the clutch field goal at the end, I got to give him credit. But I want to say this, Grody. My favorite thing about – we played his post-game press conference, and he opened it up by talking about that nobody really knew him. Mm-hmm. They didn't know his name. He hadn't introduced himself to anybody. I said – that's the way a practice squad kicker should be. Nobody should know who you are. Keep your mouth shut and just do your work on the other field. And when it comes time to get your number called, go out and do your job, and he did, and I'm happy for him.
Played it perfectly.
You're right about that, Patrick. You would know better than we do about how you're supposed to act on a team.
Yes.
And we giggled about it, but also even in his post-game interview, he was so calm, and I'm also thinking to myself, well, that's what you want. You want that guy to be calm. You don't necessarily need him to be amped.
That was a tough one.
Layla, and you're right. One other thing, too, is when they zoomed in on his eyes for that final kick, you can read a person's face, right? You can tell when somebody's stressed. You can tell when somebody's kind of on point or focused in. He looked like he was focused in. You've seen other kickers. We've seen other kickers here that have that scared look across their face. Mm-hmm. He had eyes that he was going to make that thing, and he had confident eyes. That goes a long way, and that says a lot about that young man going out there and getting that one block and going out there and making that game winner on a new team, new teammates in that environment. So credit to him, happy for the team, happy for us, happy I'm off my meds.
I hate to be the one to might make you reconsider that decision, but I also did think to myself, after that missed 48-yarder that got blocked, I'm like, how did they find a guy with a lower trajectory than the kicker they already had?
It looked to me, and it'll be interesting to see if he will talk about it. His plant foot looked like it slid just a little bit. Mm. And when you slide a little bit, you know, your swing leg is going to come in at a different angle to the ball. And I think that might have had something to do with the wet field. But there also was penetration. But where it was blocked was head level, not hand level. I think it was Deron Payne. I think it hit him in the face. So when you see it hit somebody in the face, that's on the kicker. But I think there's just some stuff that happened there. And it'll be interesting to see if, when he goes back and looks at the tape and if he gives us the honest assessment of what happened, but that's what I saw.
Well, and even in the made ones before that, there was a bit of an arc where you're asking, you know, what is the trajectory that ball has to take to get there, you know?
He hits a decent kick. He hits a higher ball than Cairo.
Okay.
I will say it. Cairo is one of the lower kickers in the league. Cairo has more of a driving kick. Jake gets a little more lift. And I think that's why he was a third-round pick, because when you see, you know, the lift on his ball and the rotation – and just his technique, and now he's changed his kind of – he's gone to a two-step from a three-step. He has that trajectory to not get one block, but I think he just hit that one low.
We are talking with Patrick Manley here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. And just to follow up on that, how concerned are you about Cairo Santos and the fact that he's dealing with a quad injury as a kicker? I mean, that doesn't seem like something that's small at all.
No, and I'm wondering now, you know, we all got on Ryan Poles when they signed Jake Moody. I'm like, what are they doing bringing a kicker on the practice squad? I think they're telling us. I think they knew there was something going on that could potentially get worse that might have been bothering Cairo for a couple weeks. So credit to Ryan Poles, if that is true, for bringing him in. And Cairo's been injured before. He's had muscle injuries before that cut his career short with Kansas City Chiefs, cut it short here before, I believe. So he has had injuries before with his leg and muscles. So maybe they knew something was going on. So I got to give Ryan Poles credit if that is the problem.
If he misses another game and Moody goes out there and is 5-for-5 and 4-for-4 in another game, like, is there a possibility that the Bears – because you've watched Cairo Santos' entire career here. You know what he's capable of and what he's not capable of. And Moody, for that matter. It's not like he comes in as a Pro Bowler. But – is there a chance? Could there be some funny stuff here? Could Moody supplant Cairo Santos? Should he, or is that just a crazy notion?
Well, I got to give Brad Biggs credit on this one. I will say I was thinking about it as well, though. But on the practice squad, if he stays on the practice squad, he can get plucked, right?
Yeah.
So if you keep him on the practice squad, another team can grab him because he seems like he would be a guy that you would make him go up and down from the practice squad to the active roster. Hmm. Or do you do roster gymnastics and keep him up all week so nobody can grab him? And you put somebody up and down, do somebody else up and down with that. But if he keeps making those kicks, somebody's going to get signed. You know, if Cairo gets cut, somebody's going to sign him. They're two. Let's say this. If he continues making his kicks, those are two of the best 32 kickers in the NFL that would supplant somebody else in somebody else's roster.
Yeah, they have to keep him up. Like, they until they know that Cairo
is fully healthy. Yeah.
And even if he is, quote-unquote, fully healthy, let's be honest, it seems like an up-and-down situation going back to when he couldn't kick it up as far as they needed him to kick it out of the end zone.
I mean, yeah, there's also the kickoff element as well in this.
Yeah. No, and it's unfortunate for some other player on the roster for this. I had this happen for me when I had some nicked-up injuries. I think we actually had to cut Shane Matthews for 2 or 3 days when I was younger, which was interesting. And it was a handshake deal. We're bringing you back. I know the roster's different now with as many practice squad players, but this means somebody else is going to have to deal with this. And that's the bad thing. And you do feel bad as a player when you're injured. I'm sure Cairo will feel bad for whoever that person is if they play the roster gymnastics this way.
Well, you know what? I've thought about this, and for all of the capital, you know, whether it's a draft pick for Tory Taylor, the roster spots for both Cairo Santos and even his extension, you can look at that, although the guaranteed money goes away after this year, you know, and the extra roster spot for Moody. The flip side of this is that, indeed, it often comes down to a field goal. Like, how many games do we watch in the league this weekend where you're saying that to yourself?
We've seen too many times here, right? The double doink. We've seen block kicks last year that cost games. So it does come down to that. And I think if you rate the specialist, and I'll be honest, you rate the specialist, the kicker is number one, the punter is number two, the long snapper is number three. But I think the kicker is even twice as valuable as a punter. You know what I mean? I think they're that much more valuable on the roster just because coming down to the fourth quarter like you're talking about.
Before we let you go, I did want your thoughts on Theo Benedet getting that full action and how good the running game looked with him doing his thing as a guy who is an undrafted free agent going back to last year.
I give him a lot of credit, man. The man's worked his butt off. What I like about him, he's got great technique. He has a very good quick set out of his both right and left tackle set. So he gets to the point, you know, the block point where, you know, the angle for the defensive end rushing. But he has very good technique. He's aggressive, throws his hands, knows what he's doing. I think that's one of the reasons why he's taken over for Braxton Jones. I think Braxton was having a lot of mental errors, and Theo doesn't seem like he's doing that. The other thing I like is that they look like they simplified the offensive run game plan, that they figured out, hey, we can't throw this much stuff at you guys. Let's simplify it. Let's stop the MAs, and MAs, I mean by mental missed assignments, excuse me. Mental errors would be ME. But it looks like they stopped that. You don't see many free runners through the hole. You don't see linebackers, safeties, or whoever running through the hole making big stops. It looked like they simplified the game plan and get credit to Roshar and who's the running backs coach?
Bieniemy.
For Bieniemy doing that with Ben Johnson. I think that helped everybody up front. But Theo Benedet looked pretty good. He went against Jacob Martin, former Bear, which isn't a top-end DN, but he'll see some tougher competition in the weeks coming forward.
Patrick Manley, we always appreciate the time. I would also like to give you this update that one of our texters said that they had their Benny's here in Rockford special order long snapper IPA, and it is good.
Like it. Very good. I like that.
Yes. And then
love positive reviews.
And then also another texter says, don't forget to ask Manley about his stepmom inspiring Elvira by the Oak Ridge Boys.
That's it, Grody.
It blows me away, man. I can't even believe that. That is just beautiful.
Still amazing.
I'll give it real quick. My dad married Elvira, who was born and raised with one of the Oak Ridge Boys, and that's where Oom Papa Mau Mau, the song Elvira, came from.
What?
That is how it started.
You didn't know that? Oh, you weren't here?
She is the original Elvira. Not the Queen of the Night or whatever it was, but the Oom Papa Mau Mau.
No, I got you. I just, famous people everywhere.
That's incredible to me.
The lyric is Oom Papa Mau Mau. I've been missing that
one
my whole life,
too. Oom Papa Mau Mau, giddy up. Yeah, no, he's right.
Okay.
You know, it's before they had a lot of cool synthesizer beats and such. They had to make it up as
they
went
along. Music. That's right.
They played music.
Patrick Manley, he is never not entertaining, and he is never not interesting. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show today.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, have a great day, guys. See ya.
Friendly reminder before Chicago takes on New Orleans. That's the next game. Tune in Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz, and Mully get you set for the game, and then immediately following, we have instant reaction on the postgame show. It is all presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. So coming up next, we get back into some of the details behind this Bears game, and we have to revisit a mantra that Marshall came up with last year.
COE, baby, Caleb over everything.
So in the duel of highly picked quarterbacks last night, let's examine what we learned about Caleb Williams next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.